Welcome back to The Morning Show with Mia Mocha, Brett Malik, and myself, Aaron Michael Sanchez. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Brett on Sports, Mia Mocha underscore, and Aaron M. Sanchez. I am honored and pleasured to actually have and introduce to you from National Recovery Month. We're talking to the CEO of Brains 2, author and philanthropist, Charles G. Hanna. He wrote a book recently about his story of addiction and recovery. It's called Higher, Awaken to a More Fulfilling Life. Welcome to the show, Charles.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, your story is very interesting. Can you take us back to the time when you had this addiction, and what type of addiction was it?
I guess my first dabbling with drugs was with marijuana. But when I really fell into trouble is when I tried to dabble in cocaine. And that was back in the early 80s when it first got introduced into North America. And ironically, I grew up in a family where we did not touch anything, so I was always very careful about doing anything. And at the time, we thought it was a safe drug, only for the affluent to enjoy it. And lo and behold, it wasn't. And then it exposed underlying issues that I had, and it developed into a full-blown addiction that I almost died from.
Wow. So was it like a life and death type of situation where you were spared that?
I will tell you, when I finally stopped, which is almost 28 years ago, I am 6'1" and I weighed 127 pounds.
Whoa.
So I looked like a prisoner of the concentration camps. I came near death on several occasions, and I was very lucky to survive. And even at the end, when I was going through the recovery process, I was quite aware that I may not make it, no matter my best efforts. And a significant change has happened, which made me look at life very differently. A lot of lessons were learned and gave rise to the book eventually.
Wow. See, this is what I always talk about, Mia, right? Whenever we talk about those that have been addicted, and the reality is anybody can change.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really, Aaron? Uh-huh.
Well, they can. I mean, I always say that they can change, but the question is some people don't want to change, and it gets to a point where they have to change.
Wow. Okay. How long were you using this?
About 8 years.
Whoa. About 8 years. How did it affect your surroundings, your family, people you came in contact with?
Well, you know, when I first started out, I was at the height of my success. I was a businessman at the time. I had a corporation. I was one of the fastest growing in the country, in Canada. And I was doing well on every score. I was making a lot of money. I came from very humble beginnings, but I became very successful. I had lots of friends. I had lots of people that respected me. I was well recognized in the industry. I was married happily. I had a beautiful child. I had everything to look forward to. And this was just a means of having fun. And lo and behold, it started to become difficult to stop. And when I wanted to stop to be able to do events such as open houses and so on, I found myself incapable. And I had no idea what I was dealing with. I had never seen addiction before. And through a series of trying every possible way to control it, I just kept on going deeper and deeper in the process. I lost systematically everything in my life, including relationships, including my ability to function, and even my sanity. In the end, out of the complete exasperation of not being able to do anything about it.
Oh.
Now here's the question I have when it came to the ending of and recovering from that. What did you do to help diminish that addiction?
Well, the thing about addiction and what I talk about in the book and what it taught me is that there's an underlying cause for it, and it's something that I refer to as a perception disorder. It is something we develop very young in the way we look at life. We look at life from our perspective. So if a child, for example, is hurt, they might feel very insecure and afraid, and if they're not nurtured properly, they might grow up feeling alone and exposed and become afraid and trying to control things and push away certain things and so on. And it kind of multiplies through life. And people that have that extreme condition grow up in life wanting to have extreme control of everything in their life. And if something happens that affects that, they kind of fall apart. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. I had never seen it until I was in my 20s when this happened to me. I was suffering from something, from an abandonment issue that happened to me as a child that I was not even aware of. So when you are in the stage of having the active phase of addiction, your mind plays tricks with you. It's now an extreme form of perception distortion, where it's almost nature's way of getting rid of the disease is to isolate you and kill you, to get rid of you. So everything that I see is nonsensical. I'm smart, I'm very effective, I've always relied on my ability to, you know, figure things out and fix them, and I have tremendous determination that made me successful, and a lot of people looked up to me. And believe it or not, that's what made it more dangerous for me, because I thought I can beat it, and I did not listen to anyone else. And my mind started to play tricks with me and give me justification as to how to do it and so on. And in the process, I did everything except handle the disease. So the only way you can do it, really, at that stage, once you reach this convoluted state of seeing things so distortedly, is you have to stop thinking. And the reason my life was saved is because I looked in the mirror one time and I saw something that was a vision that made me realize that I was possessed by this. This is no different than actually being possessed. And I knew that my only salvation was to stop thinking for myself and allow other people to help me through it. And I was in treatment at the time, and of course I submitted and surrendered completely. And they told me how to look at life in ways that I would never have otherwise.
I like that, because you did something that I always tell people, if they can, it's called being self-aware, right? Being aware of your situation. And sometimes the type of things that you do are destructive. The decisions you make can be destructive time and time again. And you have to almost say, I surrender myself to someone else that knows something better for me, and I will learn from somebody else instead of doing what I inherently know. And that's something that you did, and you've talked about, and I've heard you talk about this before in another interview, that sometimes for a lot of people, it's not just one major thing. It's a lot of little things throughout the day and throughout the months and throughout the years that add up. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I talk about the perception disorder in the sense that we look at everything from our perspective. And when you grow with that, you're always kind of afraid and you want to avoid things that don't make you feel well and so on, because you're consumed by the way you look at it and how it affects you. You fail to see life from a larger perspective. And when you do that, you start realizing that things are not happening because of you or despite of you or because you're unlucky or because, you know, you're unfortunate or somebody has got something against you. It just happens to everybody the same way. And what you really should be aware of is what a magnificent gift to just be in the game, to be in this life, and that there's so much to enjoy and look forward to if you do not sabotage yourself by being consumed by these other things. To correct that perception, there are techniques that are simple. And when you do them, you find that it corrects your way in little things in life. And what I found, to my surprise, it was actually the little things in life that are the most difficult to deal with, because they add up. You know, you have somebody that rubs you the wrong way, or you miss this, or you don't get what you hoped for, or somebody hurts you, and so on and so on. And when somebody asks you what's wrong with you, like with me, for example, I would say, well, I don't really know. There is not one big thing. I just feel lousy. And it's dangerous because it's not like a big issue that you can fix. It's not a big issue you can go focus on and resolve and then you move on with life. They are little things. So unless you have a way of life that continuously corrects you and makes sure that these things do not accumulate, you will not reach a stage of life where you are kind of free of that and able to enjoy life the way it should be enjoyed.
Okay, three things hit me that you said. First one was the abandonment issue. The second one was that the drug isolates you and wants to kill you. And then the third one you were talking about was that you let people start making decisions for you instead of you doing it. That is very powerful. So with that being said, how did you feel when you had to come off the drug? What did your body feel like? What did you go through?
Well, the physical withdrawals were, believe it or not, not the big issue. They're very short and transient. And some of the worst drugs may take maybe a year or two. In fact, one of the worst drugs to get rid of your body is actually marijuana. It takes about a year because it dissolves in your fat cells. And for a whole year, you could have dreams that come out and actually give you a high all of a sudden. And you wonder why you're not feeling better. So the physical aspect is not the significant aspect, even though the withdrawals can be very, very nasty for a period of time. The biggest one is the psychological addiction. That's the killer. It's the fact that I feel such pain about my situation, I cannot stand it, and I will do anything to stop this pain. And that's the insanity of it.
It's a vicious cycle. I have seen that, and not just drugs of that sort, but even drugs that are prescribed, that there are drugs that mask the real problem at the root of it, and that's not addressed. And I think your book and the things that you talk about can address anybody throughout every different walk of life as well, because you also talk about reaching a higher state. Now, what does that mean, and what are the techniques that someone can do, perhaps starting today?
There are many things you can do to enhance your perception of life, and that is you have to look at it from outside of yourself. And one of the fundamentals of that is that you have to believe that you are part of a higher order. We are part of a big universe that has been around forever, will continue forever, and you are part of it. Now, you can plug into it and be empowered by it in the same manner, for example, a soldier will plug into the army and be part of the GPS and part of a coordinated system that knows where they are and become much more powerful than if they were on your own. In the same manner with as an individual, if you plug into your higher order of things, through a belief of God in some cases, through a belief of higher power in a spiritual sense, or whichever way you make it, you have to understand that you are part of something bigger. Because when you do, you have this underlying faith and belief inside you that everything is going to be fine. It's been fine forever. It will continue to be fine, even if it seems horrible to you at certain points or another. And that gives you an underlying peace that stops you from worrying and sabotaging your mind all the time by having to control things. And then the other thing that you can do is obviously connect with people around. Because our perception is very specific to ours. It's our lens. It's been distorted because of our personal experiences. But when you look at life from other people's perspective as well, you see their side of it is different. And that allows you to see life in a wider sense. And many times it corrects you and makes you realize that your behavior or your perception of it is wrong and your reaction is unwarranted. And there are many things that you can do that can make your life a lot better. So they're very simple techniques, but very hard for most of us. For me, for example, I was so hard-headed. And especially when you're in the active stage of addiction, the only person you trust at that time is yourself. That's the only thing that you got left hanging onto, and yet it's the Achilles heel that will sink you. So when you expand your horizon that way, all of a sudden you start really seeing bit by bit a joy of life that you could never have experienced otherwise.
Well, and I want to say congratulations on overcoming this addiction and chronicling this. I understand you now also have three beautiful children.
Yes.
What are their ages?
My older one now is 32, and at the time I reached my near-death experience, she was 4 years old.
Oh.
And I was so afraid that I was going to die and not be there for her. And I didn't want to die for myself. I just did not want to die, and I tried everything to survive. And she was so much there for me after I came out, because she was this huge reservoir of love that I can give without being afraid that I'm going to be hurt again. And she helped me through the recovery in a big way. And we had a great, great childhood, enjoying her childhood together. She's now a successful architect, beautiful woman, have a great relationship with her. But 20 years after that, I had another daughter who is now 12. And I also have a son who's 27. So I'm able to relive it again, and it's just a wonderful miracle of life to be able to sit back and, you know, I shake my head and say, what a magnificent miracle that I could have completely missed had I not seen this.
Oh, now I'm weeping here in the studio. This is not good.
Oh,
Brett, get me a tissue.
That's really important about this book.
Yes.
The perception issue is something that afflicts all of us. The fact that some addicts get into substance abuse is simply a stage of it. It's an extreme manifestation of it. But everybody that's around the addict and the family, for example, suffers to one extent or another as a result of that addiction and as a result of their relationship with people that have that kind of addiction. And the way they're affected is no different, really. It's just very individual. So the concepts in the book really apply equally to both the addict as well as everybody that might be around them that's affected. And it can also help people that may have nothing to do with addiction, but they're simply not as fulfilled in life. They might be successful and wonder why they're not happy, or why they're miserable, or why they're isolating. So it has a common thread that is really beautiful, and I have to be able to accomplish that in the book.
Well, thank you so very much, Charles, for spending time with us here on The Morning Show and sharing that with us. Again, Higher, Awaken to a More Fulfilling Life. Go order it right now by Charles G. Hanna. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back right after these messages. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the morning show with Mia Mocha, Brett Malik, and myself, Aaron Michael Sanchez. If you missed any part of that last interview, just go to our website at KMET1490AM.com, click on the morning show, and then our SoundCloud link. You can listen to that and all of our great shows right there on SoundCloud. Mia, Brett, I mean, you see why I had to schedule him. He was amazing.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, I definitely. Mean, his testimony was, it was real. It was deep. There were no excuses. It was point blank, period. I love how he broke everything down and how it was, like I said to you, those three keys really hit me. The one with the issues, past, present, you know what I'm saying, is the fact that he allowed his family to start making decisions for him. And then third, overcoming all that. It's just, wow, what an amazing story. Wow. He was meant to live. I said that before. He was meant to live to tell this story and to do that book.
Mm-hmm. Here's the most interesting fact that I got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
When he was talking about the addiction to marijuana, and he mentioned the fact that marijuana stays in your fat cells for about a year.
I didn't know that either. Yeah.
But you know what that means, right?
What?
What? Yeah, I think it's pretty simple what it means. You know what it means? It means that if you light up today, that stuff will be with you in 2017.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like if you get pulled over by a cop and they do a breathalyzer test on you. Even if you light, up like 9 months ago, you're going to be in big trouble.
Again,
if you guys are sweating in a gym after smoking marijuana, is somebody going to get a secondary high from your sweat?
I'm getting a secondary high from Brett's sweat in this studio. It is so hot in here. It's like a sauna in here. But seriously, though, I think, you know, and I've always said this. And it's not for all of those that take marijuana, but those that are predisposed to an addiction or they are covering or masking like he was, very young childhood abandonment issues and others,
right.
He wasn't dealing with it. He was trying to mask it. And one thing leads to another. Once the potency wears off and the next new fix comes on or that, you know, you get exposed to that, well, now you escalate. So sometimes, yes, I agree that marijuana in limited doses and or prescribed doses can have a great effect, but just like any drug out there, you can get addicted to any drug, and if you don't watch it, you need to, and it's not supervised, then these are the type of things that it can escalate to.